So we the times have changed in Canada. Can we all agree on that? Times in Canada have changed. We see our government and institutions of higher education, they no longer support Judeo-Christian values. We've seen prayer taken out of schools. You can't really mention the name of Jesus in the schools. So our prayer is like, Lord, help us to be active in society. So how can we be active in society and share the truth in society? And how can we move within the schools and universities or in government? And only the one way is to do that is be involved. To be involved in society, not to hide behind walls. To share the truth of Christianity, Jesus to others. To teach people why. We see what's the outcome if we take God out of the school. We see how things have turned upside down. What was once evil now is called good. We see people desiring ungodly lifestyles. We see children being taken advantage of, groomed, and really satanic practices happening within the church, within the schools. So it is crucial for us as a believer to share our beliefs, to be willing to open our mouths and share the truth of the gospel, the good news to Jesus, about Jesus Christ to others. God speaks to us regardless of whether or not the culture supports of him. You think of Daniel and stuff in the Old Testament. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are the ones who dedicated their lives and followed the Lord, even through how upheaval the world was. They still followed the Lord, no matter what. As parents and grandparents, it is important for us to train our children and grandchildren in the way of the Lord, to have a firm foundation in Christ, and to know why we believe, and be able to give a defense why we believe in Christ. I remember this one sermon from Bodhi. Yeah. I wrote this down. It says, this is what he gave an excellently good explanation. Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? He says, I choose to believe in the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the time of other eyewitnesses. They report of the supernatural events took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies. You know, was Jesus fulfilled 350-some prophecies from the time he was born and the time he was raised again? He fulfilled 350-some prophecies. I think there's 300 more to be fulfilled. But, so I believe the Bible because of the report of the supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and the claim of the writings of Scripture are divine rather than human in origin. To say that I believe because God touched my life is like why do you really believe? The Word of God, do I believe what the Word of God says? Has the Word of God affected your life, changed your life, transformed your life? Are you still being transformed today by the Word of God? So the sanctification. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up your children in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we raise our children up in the way of the Lord, so when they get older, they can make a decision. When they leave the house, they want to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Our job part before the children leave the home is to teach them the way of the Lord and share our faith with them. To not be shy of why we believe. So the question is, why, in what way should we train up our children? In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7, chapter 6, 4 to 7 says, I'll read that. Yeah. So Deuteronomy 6, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that the fear of the Lord, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments which I command you, and you and your sons and your grandsons and all the days of your life, and your days may be prolonged. So it is a blessing when we teach our children and our grandkids the ways of the Lord, all his statutes, all his laws. His laws are good. They help us to grow and to become fruitful. And they teach us his ways. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. So be observing the statutes of God, to apply them to your lives, to live what the Word of God says. And it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I have commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Diligently. I know sometimes I fall short. To diligently teach my kids the ways of the Lord. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk the way, and you lie down, and when you rise up. So it's supposed to be a habit. Speaking of the Lord, day and night. Not when I come to church on Sunday. Sometimes we don't like talking about the Lord all the time, do we? Sometimes we don't like talk about the hockey game, the baseball games. I talk about everything else but the Lord at times. Sometimes it's easier to talk about other things, but really the heart things about how God's changing our hearts, how God's working my life. Sometimes it's hard to speak about really what God's revealing in my own life. It's easier to talk about other things that are above Moses' surface stuff. But he's saying to us, saying to me, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's a habit. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training in the counsel of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. The father has a huge role. Sometimes we can be harsh to our children. But with the word of God says, least do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. We encourage our children. We come alongside them and help them. Teach them the way of the Lord. So based on these scriptures, when we learn that we should train up our children in the way of the Lord, so they establish and rooted, so they be established and rooted in the Lord, so they will come to know the Lord and to love the Lord. You know, sometimes our children will stray away from the Lord, right? Just like the prodigal son, who strayed away from his father's love, later came back, and he repented to his father. And what did his father do? He threw a feast. I think sometimes when my children have fallen short, or they have done things I didn't agree of, I can really condemn them. It's hard not to when they blow it, right? When they blow it, we let down. But how do we react? Especially when they know when they've blown it. Do we say it's okay, son or daughter? What did you learn from this mistake? I think sometimes we, as a church, we don't want our children to make any mistake. But I'd rather have my children make a mistake while they're at home than rather than make a mistake out in the world when they have nobody else helping them or encouraging them. Oh, if that makes sense. Sometimes we don't want the kids to make mistakes. But they need to make mistakes while they're at home. So they would know the mercy of the Father. That they would learn from their mistakes. And that they would come back to the Father. They want to come back to the house where they've been raised because they know no matter what they have done. And we repent to the Lord. The Lord heals us, reconciles us. But sometimes our children make such blunders. And you're like, my goodness, Lord, what have I done wrong? But we haven't done anything wrong if we're teaching them the ways of the Lord. They all have to make choices. So we continue to pray for our children and intercede for them and allow the Holy Spirit work upon their hearts. So how do we teach the children the way of the Lord? We must be willing to teach and train our children the way of the Lord, because John 14:6 says, Jesus is the truth, the life, the way. No one can come to the Father but through him. We teach and train our children in the way of the Lord because he is the Savior of the world. We must train and teach our children about what the Word of God says about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, God in human flesh without a sin nature, who was born of a virgin and of a virgin birth, of a virgin woman, who performed many great miracles. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, the Lamb of God who takes away sin, who rose from the dead on the third day, so that we might receive everlasting life without everlasting life when we put our faith in Jesus. We teach our children this. We teach our children that we are redeemed and reconciled when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we've been brought back into the right relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we train and teach our children to put their trust in Jesus for their salvation, for their daily needs. When we have a trouble in our lives, what's the first thing we go to? Who is the first thing we go to? Do we go to the Lord, or do we go to something else first? As parents, do we teach our children to go to the Lord first? Right? As our children are watching us. It's amazing how much our children learn from how we act and react. It's amazing. They're like little sponges. The things that you don't want them to learn, they learn. Right? They're watching us. How is mom and dad reacting to the situation in their life? They say they follow the Lord and they trust the Lord, but they don't behave that way. A lot of times I repent to my kids, say, you know, kids, whatever kid it is, I repent to them when I fall short. Says, Daddy really blew it today. Will you forgive me? And what's that teaching to our kids? That we're not perfect. Shows humility. Shows that Daddy doesn't know everything, but my Heavenly Father does. It's teaching our kids things that we don't know, but we're willing to be open and transparent to them. And that it's not being religious, but it's actually a relationship. So we're teaching to have a relationship with the Lord. We teach him that the Lord is coming back for his bride. That we're going to be caught up in the air to meet our Lord. We are to teach our children to be holy, because 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, but as he which has called you is holy, God is holy. So ye be holy. We're supposed to be holy. And we can't be holy without Christ. I can't be holy unless I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he makes me holy. So be holy in all the manner of conversation. So be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Teach your children to be holy means to teach our children to be Christ-like in everything we say and do. In James 1:21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. So therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only. And so it says deceiving yourselves. If we are not, if we're not doers of the word, and we're just hearers of the word, we're deceiving ourselves. We're supposed to be doers of the word, what the word of God says. How do we apply the word of God to our life? Because if we don't, then we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law gives you liberty. And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. For if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. So we're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. So applying the word of God to our daily lives to teach our children about Jesus, how to live a holy life. They must be taught and trained with biblical instruction. We find biblical instructions in the Word of God, how to raise our children. Seems like it's a tough one, isn't it? It's amazing how much God's entrusted us with the children that He's given us, but it's sometimes we take lightly. I know sometimes I've taken it lightly. Sometimes it's easy to push it off and say, you know what, we'll do it the next day. It's easy enough to do things in this world and not show them the instructions of the way of the Lord. It's easy to do other things and other than instructing in the Word of God. Because we know there's a blessing when they're instructed in the ways of the Lord. There's a blessing to their lives. We see lives transformed and changed. We see the culture in our lives around us being changed. 2 Timothy 2, 15-17 says, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 says, And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise upon salvation. This is the King James Version. Unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, so mature, thoroughly furnished upon all good works. The Word of God instructs us. Disciplines us, reproof, correction, instructs us how to live a life that honors our Heavenly Father, that we may become mature in the Word of God, to know the Word of God, be able to apply the Word of God to our very lives. So we ought to love our children enough to train them and teach them about Jesus Christ. We must love our children enough to train them, teach them to be holy in everything that they do, to say or think. Sometimes, my goodness, it's just like, where, how did they come up with that thought? Lord, help me. know, Scripture says that if we do anything without love, including training our children up in the Lord, we have done nothing. Do I love my children enough to teach them the ways of the Lord? Do I love them enough to help them to be encouraged by the Word of God, to apply the Word of God? Do I love them? So we must teach them and train our children in love and what it means, and what if we want to help them grow in the faith and to live for the Lord, we must teach them how to love. So they will have a love for the Lord. I pray for my kids they would have a Damascus moment. I don't want my kids to have my faith. I want my kids to have I pray for my kids so they would actually know the Lord Jesus Christ is real. It's not because of how Jesus moved in my life, but I want them to experience salvation and they know for sure that he's truly real. Sometimes they're going to make mistakes, but how are we going to react when they make mistakes? Are we going to shun them? Or come alongside them and encourage them in the way. So Romans, I'll finish with this. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. If I'm ashamed of the gospel, I don't think I would teach my kids the way of the Lord. Right? If I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I will teach them to grow in the ways of the Lord, to actually meditate on the Word of God, to apply the Word of God to their very lives. So, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So we talked about the gospel more and more all the time with our children. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. So they shall live by faith. We teach our children what it means to live by faith. We teach our children why do we love the Lord. I think sometimes we can be ashamed of where we came from. I know sometimes it's age appropriate. It's the mercy of God that I pray for our kids that they will have a love for the Lord. And they actually know the Lord with all their heart, mind, body, and soul. That would not be our faith, it'd be their faith. And their walk with the Lord, they would actually want to walk with the Lord when they leave the house. Our job is to teach them, to share with the truth of the Word of God to them. That they would have to grow in the Lord and to hear His voice. So my prayer is like for myself to spend more time with our children in devotions. Because I could get so busy other things. Right? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that, Father, we just commit our children onto you, all our children. Father, I do pray for our children that, Father, they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, that they would know you with all their heart. They would know you intellectually. And Father, they would put their faith and trust in you alone, knowing that you are the one who created everything. You're the one who upholds them. You're the one who gives them breath. You're the one who gives them strength for every thing that they go through. So, Father, I pray for our children, Father, they would have a love and a passion for you. And, Father, lest they would not have a love for this world, but rather have a love for you only. Lord, that they would be set apart for you, to live a life that would be honoring to you. Lord, that they would desire to share the truth of the gospel to those who do not know the word of God. So, Father, I just do pray for our children, Father. Give them such a burning passion for you, a love for you, a desire for you, to share the faith about you. And, Father, as parents and grandparents, Father, I pray that we would be unashamed of the gospel. Father, we would be speaking of your word more than what we do now. Father, our conversations would be around of the work of a mighty God, a holy God, a righteous God. Father God, our conversations would not be surface conversations, but Father, heartfelt conversations. To talk about you, about your mercy, so that we don't forget who you are. Father, help us to be mindful of you day and night. Father, as we wake up and go to bed, Father, all day we'd be thinking about you. So Father, help us to be your hands and your feet in this world. We just pray, Father, for our families who do not know you yet. And we pray, Father, that as we live out a life that is dependent on you, Father, that others would see the difference, the love for others, the love for you, the desire to live a life that is set apart from this world. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for Emmanuel, and Father, for all the children. Thank you that they are a precious gift. And Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name. Yes, that's wonderful.